All right, joining me now is State Representative Mark Finchem. He is now officially the Republican candidate for Secretary of State headed into the general election. He is joined by his friend, Senator Borelli of Arizona, State Senator Borelli. Gentlemen, welcome back to Lindell TV, the Lindell Report. Mike is going to be joining us. He's in an event right now for Sarah Palin. He'll be joining us in just a little bit. Mark, congratulations.
Thank you, Brandon. I'm still trying to get over the crushing defeat that was handed out to some of the swamp creatures.
Yeah.
Sonny?
And Sonny Borelli's there with you?
Yeah. So I'm gonna move over and make a little space for the my partner in justice here.
Well, it's great to have you guys both together on camera together. Hello, how you doing, Senator?
I'm doing good.
Thank you for joining us. It's been a long trek. I mean, it was a year ago we met in person at the Cyber Symposium. That was a year ago. Here we are now. I mean, I guess perseverance pays off, doesn't it?
Time flies when you're having so much fun.
Yeah. That's about right, yeah.
But, I mean, it's a great day. I mean, it's a great day to rejoice, to be excited. I mean, can you believe it? Mark Finchem is now the Republican candidate going into the general election for Secretary of State. Can you believe it, Senator?
Yeah, there goes the neighborhood.
No, so actually, we can believe it because, yeah. You know, the message that Senator Borelli and Representative Biasucci and myself have been proselytizing is, this elections belong to the people. They don't belong to the government.
Yeah.
And anybody who decides that they want to stand in the way of that is the enemy of the people. And I don't mean that lightly. I believe that we have experienced a significant assault on the body politic. And the fact that what is astonishing to me is that I carried every single county, all 15 counties, and the margin of victory for my race beat the margin of victory for every other candidate for all offices across the county or across the state.
Yeah.
That is a mandate that people want action, action, action. They want the legislature to sort this mess out because, quite frankly, as the Secretary of State, I do not have the power to do anything other than that which the legislature puts into law. And while the left is freaking out about, oh my God, I think it was The Guardian said that Mark Finchem is the existential threat or the enemy of democracy. He's going to destroy democracy.
That's a great endorsement coming from them.
Yeah. Wait, that's a great money raiser, right? A fundraiser. I'm going to put that out there. No, but here's the point. If they are afraid of a guy who has dedicated his life to holding people accountable to following the law, so what is it they're afraid of? Apparently, they're afraid of being found out they're not following the law.
Yeah, they're afraid of having their lawlessness interrupted. And I have on video the former Deputy Assistant Director of the Counterterrorism Division of the FBI, Terry Turchi. I have him on video at my town hall meeting in November of last year saying, we are no longer under the rule of law in America. And they're afraid of having the rule of law restored.
That's exactly right. And by the way, that is my mission, to restore the rule of law under Title 16, which is all the election law in the state of Arizona. We are going to restore the rule of law in this state, and individuals who are responsible for executing on the law, if you don't do it, you will be referred to the Attorney General for action.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
Yeah, well, you know what the deep state didn't realize, that people were actually going to step up and do their job. You know, that's the thing. They didn't think we were going to look, you know, because normally, okay, election's over. You just take the licks and you go, okay, maybe it happened. But they didn't expect us to look and keep looking. You know, right after the election in November, people were screaming and yelling. They had a lot of the concerns, you know, and we stepped up and we said, look, we'll take a look at it. If we don't find anything, we did our job. If we find something we need to fix, we'll do our job and go forward from there. But they figured they would bully us enough to just shut up and sit down and just go along with the program and not keep looking. And you know what? It's not over because, you know, just last Saturday, we held another little a bit of an informational summit where just the week before on the court case between Fitchum Lake versus Katie Hobbs in that federal case, where the county had actually said, no unauthorized personnel are allowed in the election server room. Only badged employees are allowed to have access to that. Well, then lo and behold, we have video, security video of the county elections department where a badged county employee badges somebody in with their key card, allows this person to go inside that server room who's not authorized to be there in the first place, especially by themselves. So they let an unbadged person, unauthorized person, go into a server room unescorted by themselves and left alone.
And they walk away.
Wow. And then, of course, you know, there's more video footage of people, of one of these election workers logging onto the computer. When nobody's looking, they're reaching in their pockets and they're sticking in thumb drives and everything else. So we're not letting this go. We're going to keep going on it and make sure that this doesn't happen again.
So everyone wants to know then, how did you win by such a big margin?
Let me break that down for
because
you.
We're lucky. Nobody's going to mess around.
So we've got, there's three components to the Arizona election process. The first component is 30 days of early voting. The ballots that come in are sequestered until election day, and then they begin to count them. During election day, ballots that are delivered to the polls and people who vote at the polls, like I did with a ballpoint pen, by the way.
Is that what you want to do, right? With a ballpoint pen, not a Sharpie.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And we were getting texts yesterday from some folks saying there were Sharpies at some of these places and there were.
Okay, so there weren't Sharpies. There were Pentels, which is a different ink. It's supposed to be a fast-drying ink.
Okay.
But I can understand people were freaking out.
Yep, they were. We're getting texts.
Okay. So I think in the next election, when I'm Secretary of State, I'm going to lay in a supply at Office Depot or Office Max, whatever. I want to have like a million pens to have poll workers hand out ballpoint pens to people as they're walking across the line to go vote. This whole idea of having a marker as the only approved marker for a ballot is absolutely BS.
Yeah.
But I digress. So you got 30 days of early voting where the ballots are delivered to the county for counting. Then you have the ballots that are delivered, hand delivered on the election day, along with the folks who go in and they vote. Normally, you just go into the polling place, you fill out the ballot, and you put it into the box. And then you have the late arrivals. So there's three tranches of ballots. You got the early, the day of, and you got the late arrival. What's interesting is all of the early ballots got us to where we were at on the early returns at about 8:20 Pacific time last night, which showed Kerry Lake kind of a little bit behind Karen Taylor Robson. It showed me a little bit ahead of the field for the Secretary of State race, and other races were all very close. The moment they started counting and releasing the actual election day ballots, excuse me, that's when you saw a massive shift. These are the people who have gotten the message, go to the polls and vote. These are MAGA voters. These are people who listened to the message, and it was a massive shift. So I went from, I think, 23 points to 40 points.
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah. These are the people who went to the polls and voted. Now, I worked the polls from about 3 o'clock in the afternoon until 7 o'clock. Every single person who was walking in the polls, they might have disagreed with me on who they were voting for U.S. Senate, but every single one of them was carrying their ballot into the polling place. They came out and they looked at me, thumbs up, and they said, by the way, I voted for you. Hmm. Okay? So we're looking at this dichotomy of people who mailed their ballots in, trusting the system, and people who hand-delivered their ballots. I would say nearly 100% of the people, I can't quantify that, but this is what it feels like, 100% of the people who delivered their ballots by hand, they were Trump voters. Hmm. They didn't trust the system, and they decided that they were going to protect the chain of custody. And that's what they did.
Yeah. Wow.
That's why we saw this massive move for me and for Kerry and Abe and even Blake Masters. That's why we saw this massive move during the evening. And I don't know where we're at now. I haven't had time to check the numbers, but from what I understand, it's pretty solid. I've been declared the winner. I think Kerry's been declared the winner.
Yeah, 97% has been last update this morning. 97% is precinct reporting.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's over.
So what was going on with Kerry Lake's race, though, do you think? What was there any – was there – because there's rumors now and articles on some conservative sites that they tried to do in mail-in ballot fraud with her, and that her opponent was doing way better than her polling numbers the couple days before, and you know there were some maybe shenanigans going on there. What are your thoughts?
We've actually had our data gerbil has been looking at that. Phil Evans is just he's a brilliant man. Can't sing his laurels enough. He called me this afternoon. He says, "Okay, your election is relatively clean."
Right.
It appears that the Lake Robeson race had an algorithm working in the background on ballot tabulation. And he's able to show us the evidence. It's going to be, when you compare that election versus past elections, it stands out like a sore thumb that there is something working in the background, and this has to do with tabulation equipment. Now, the question is, and I think that this is a good thought exercise. Should we take a look at that election to determine whether or not there really was an algorithm working in the background? Meaning, do we take the paper ballots and compare them directly against the machine tabulation? I think that is something that I would ask the next Senate to take a look at, because we want to know, is there something, if we can't get a look at the software and find out if there's nefarious code in it, the next best thing is to compare the actual count of the machine to the count of the ballots, the dots on the ballots. Now, I'm not talking about the ballots. This is the thing that the leftist news media has made a big deal about. I mean, if you have 1,000, if you're a cashier at a bank, you have 1,000 bills in your drawer at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, you have 1,000 bills. You have no idea how many counterfeit bills you took in that day. So what I would like to know is, how does that compare? How do the paper ballots and the votes that were cast, the dots filled in on those ballots, how does that compare with what was tabulated by the machines? Now, hopefully Senator Borelli is going to have the opportunity to examine that question. I think that we have the responsibility, the ultimate responsibility for oversight of elections.
Yeah.
In the legislature. I'm about to step out of the legislature into an executive role. That's not my world anymore. My world now is going to be enforce the laws that's written by these guys.
So what do you make of this case in Arizona? Mike Lindell's funding it to get rid of the voting machines. Did you hear, were you there that day that the hearing was being held, the judge was hearing the evidence and hearing from the plaintiffs and the defendants? Were you there?
I was not, but I did read the transcript. I think that it's telling that the judge was willing to hear the evidence.
Yes.
So, by the way, that kind of breaks down the whole leftist narrative. There's been no evidence in court. Really? Apparently you missed this one.
Yeah.
Because the judge, if there was no evidence, the judge wouldn't have had 45 minutes of questions about nothing. And yet he said, wait a minute, after hearing both sides, I got questions. And he took over 45 minutes of questions.
Yeah. Isn't that an interesting coincidence?
I mean, otherwise he would have just said, you know what, this is a nothing case. But, hey, we heard both sides. I'll let you know what my ruling is. Thanks, guys. Have a great night. He actually said, no, I want to have a break. And then I want to start asking both sides questions. And his questions were very interesting. I don't know how many. Yeah.
By the way, that's where we saw Ryan Macias.
Well, that's funny you brought that name up. Because I was just going there. Now, I don't know if Logan, if they can see my computer or not. Maybe not here. We'll get that synced. But federal judge holds hearing on Arizona voting tabulation machines. This was new NBC Channel 12 there in Arizona. And it says election security consultant Ryan Macias testified for the defense. Well, if you remember, I think it was Mike Lindell's attorney that said, as the, quote, expert, who's paying you? Did any of you guys hear who he said was paying him?
Yeah. What the heck is it?
It is the States United Democracy Center.
States, which is not a nonpartisan group.
No, he kept saying we're partisan. We're partisan. And Mike Liddell's attorney kept saying, "Are you sure you're partisan?" We find out that the guy that runs that organization is what?
He was saying we were nonpartisan.
Yes, we're nonpartisan. He said we're nonpartisan. We're nonpartisan is what he kept saying. And it turns out the guy that runs the States United Democracy Center is Norm Eisen.
Right.
So we did a deep dive on Norm and did a show on that, you know, that night or the next day, I should say. He was Democrat impeachment counsel linked to George Soros. He was working for the Democrats on the impeachment of Donald Trump linked to George Soros. He's actually quoted in the Time magazine piece back in 2020, The Secret History of the Shadow Campaign That Saved the 2020 Election. His name is mentioned a few times. Revolver, meet Norm Eisen, a legal hatchet man and central operative in the color revolution against President Trump. This guy, I guess, has written a book on color revolution, how you carry out color revolution. I don't know if he at any time worked for the CIA, currently works for the CIA. I don't know. I have no clue. But he's kind of...
This would be Mark Elias's counterpart in the courtroom.
Yeah.
These are individuals who are an existential threat to the United States. These are intellectual terrorists. Hmm. They should be arrested for treason because they are subverting the actual function of our government.
Yes.
Yep. It's pure sedition.
Well,
you want to talk about a seditious intrusion? There's the crime.
There's the crime. And so we hear all this talk about sedition, insurrection. But of course, we understand, you know, who's making the rules here and who's prosecuting and who's not.
Apparently, the ghost of Stalin walks the halls of Congress.
Well, so few people know this about that hearing, and that they actually had a book, The Democracy Playbook, Preventing and Reversing Democratic Backsliding, and Norm Eisen was one of the writers. He also worked what exactly is President Obama's former White House ethics czar, Norm Eisen, his longtime friend since Harvard Law School, who recently partook in war games to simulate overturning a Trump electoral victory, writing a detailed playbook on how to use a color revolution to overthrow the government's The story of Norm Eisen only gets more fascinating, outrageous, and indispensable to understanding the planned chaos unfolding before our eyes, leading up to what will perhaps be the most chaotic election in our nation's recent history. And this was, of course, an article going back on the Revolver, September 9th, 2020. The summer of 2020, we were doing TV shows here. I was doing TV shows on my show the summer of 2020, showing screenshots of the book from the group that had written this book on election integrity, or what's going to happen when the election occurs, and how are we going to stop Donald Trump's people from stealing it and being involved in insurrection. So this thing was so well laid out. It's shocking.
No, it's not.
It's the crystal ball.
No, it's not shocking at all.
Yeah.
This is a well-planned, well-executed insurgency into the American form of government that Nikita Khrushchev talked about in 1964.
Mm.
We will overtake your government without firing a shot.
Yeah. You'll fall, he said, you'll fall over to our hand like overripe fruit.
Yes. These are the individuals who have dedicated themselves to being useful idiots in subverting the greatest government that has ever been devised by man. And they should be summarily dismissed and prosecuted for treason. What they have done to a sitting president, don't get me started on what happened on January 6th. And the action of the secretary or of the president of the Senate and the speaker of the House and their sergeants at arms. You've seen the video where you have people on the inside opening magnetically locked doors,
yes,
allowing people into the building. That does not happen without the approval of the speaker of the House, president of the Senate, and the sergeant at arms. What we saw, I would advocate, as a law enforcement officer has seen many things like this. We saw malicious destruction of property up on the Capitol steps. We saw individuals brought into the building. So to make it appear that they had broken in, except they were invited in. They were not only invited in, they were ushered in. The people of the United States have experienced a coup d'etat against our republic, not against the president of the United States, against the republic, against our constitution. You know, Justice Scalia, in one of his opinions, brilliant piece of work. What's the fourth rail of government? The people. You have the judiciary, the junior form of government, or the junior office. You have the executive, which is a little bit less junior, and you have the legislative, the most superior form of government. And then you have who? The people, the 9th and 10th amendments. They are terrified of the people, Brandon.
Absolutely they are. And that's when you have freedom. You know, it's been said freedom is when the government's afraid of the people. Tyranny is when the people are afraid of the government. And
exactly.
So let me ask you, Mark, I guess you need to raise some money for this general election, right?
just $2.5 million. I mean, it's,
tell our audience your website, and then tell us about who you're running against.
Okay, so the website is votefinchem.com. That's V-O-T-E, F like Frank, I-N-C-H-E like Edward, M like Mark.com. I'm running against, it looks like, Adrian Fontes, the guy who was responsible for the 2020 election in Maricopa County, which is also known as the steaming garbage heap of American elections, also known as an SS. this is the same guy. I know there's kids probably listening to this.
Yeah, and my
this
mom.
Is the same guy who was involved in Fast and Furious, the gun running scheme, by Eric Holder and none other than Barack Obama, the guy who's behind the guy who can't put three words together to make a sentence, who is currently in the White House.
Wow.
This is a control cartel that wants to see to it that the people of the United States are kept fat, dumb, and happy and ignorant to what's really going on. Well, that is why Sonny Borelli, Mark Fincham, and Leo Biasucci are an existential threat to their game, because we are blowing the whistle and throwing the flag on the field of frankly, warfare against the people of the United States. So if they go to votefincham.com, they can click on the donate button. Look, I'm not asking for from your audience, as many people as there are. If they put up a $20 bill, a $50 bill per person, we will raise that $2.5 million and scare the ever-living hell out of the Democrats.
Well, yeah, the Democrats always say that we're attacking democracy. Well, it's amazing how they're actually attacking the republic that this country really is.
Yes.
So they're the enemy of the republic. So it's just amazing that the level of corruption is so deep. And you know what? And we have people that are in the Republican Party that are just as guilty of looking the other way and allowing this to happen. So they're, you know, accessories after the fact, or for that matter, aiding and abetting.
Yeah,
we need to hold those people accountable. And we just did after this primary, because Rusty Bowers is not going to be elected to the state Senate. Thank God that David Farnsworth is going to be elected to the state Senate and not Rusty Bowers, because he's gone.
By the way, we have cleaned house in the Arizona Senate and the Arizona House. We have gotten, we've gone far down the road to removing people who are Democrats registered as Republicans and replace them with people who are solid conservatives.
That's excellent. So you're saying we should be seeing some real action out of your state legislature next session?
You betcha.
Well, right. Because, I mean, all the election integrity bills that didn't pass this year, we're going to reintroduce them. And that's going to be our first order of business, is get them up. Get them out and get them signed into law, and everything's set for the 2024 election.
Yes, excellent, excellent, excellent. All right, well, that's great. Guys, you are awesome. I like having you guys both on tonight at the same time. Awesome. Thank you so much. You have one more thing you want to say, Senator?
Yeah, you know, we have to have a better majority in the House and the Senate. Us having a majority of one is why we were so log-jammed to try to get anything accomplished. when you only have a, you know, a majority of 16 and 31 in the House and, you know, 16 in the Senate, we need 16 and 31 to pass something. When you have that one person that's going to jam everything up, this is why we have a problem. This is why we have to gain more House seats, Republican House seats, and Senate seats.
Excellent. All right. Finchem, give us the website again, Representative Finchem.
VoteFinchem.com/donate, D-O-N-A-T-E.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Thank you, guys. Congratulations, and thank you for being with us tonight.
Go, Brandon.
Thank you. All right, folks, you often wonder, what is he doing? Sometimes he's over here typing on his computer. Sometimes he's looking down. Let me let you know a little secret. I produce my own show. I have been a producer of my own show for the 30-plus years I've been doing radio and television. And now when I do TV, tonight, 6 to 7, and then 7 to 9, I produce my own guest. I don't have a producer that books all my guests for me. A lot of people do. That would not leave me with very much work to do if I turned that over to someone else. Hey, maybe I should get someone to produce my show for me. But I'm always producing. I'm always looking for another, like when they wanted to bring up the gentleman they just brought up, Ryan Macias, boom, I've got my notes on my laptop. I pulled them up. We can talk about it. But even while I'm hosting, I'm getting texts coming in here tonight from people, and we're still, at this moment, booking the most cutting-edge guest around. We have just had confirmed, will be with me tonight, Kris Kobach, who just won the Republican primary in Kansas. He will be my guest at approximately 8:15 p.m. Central Time tonight on Lindell TV. He's running for Attorney General. He's won the primary in Kansas, and he's just confirmed by texting with me he'll be with us. All right, so there we go. There's always a lot going on here at the desk as we're always producing things, actually keeping it the most cutting-edge show we can have. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Sorry Mike wasn't able to join us back. We're from CPAC. We'll go to the Worldview Report now and then be back with Brandon House Live at 7:30 Central Time. Thanks for watching. Take care.